So we've had a few heroes and sheroes in our story so far, which we began, this is now the third Sunday, as we're working through our story of, in the book of Esther. Our first hero was Queen Vashti. Queen Vashti took the risk of seeing the image of God within herself. And the result was that she lost her status as queen and probably her life. And yet, through being this hero, through making this tough decision, she found some freedom. She found freedom in trusting herself and in trusting that God's image of her was the right image of her. Now, in our culture that throws images before us, that values impossible things that we cannot be, it can be very difficult for us to see the image of God within ourselves. Mordecai, the guardian of Esther, who raised her to adulthood. Mordecai is a hero too. Mordecai took the risk of openly honoring God. He reveals who he truly is, that he is a faithful Jew who believes in God, who trusts in God. And what did Mordecai lose? He lost the security for himself and for all the Jews. In our culture that values acquisition over affirmations, it is hard to openly claim God's way. Which brings us to today's story. Mordecai is now grieving. He grieves Haman's manipulation of the king. He mourns the genocide of all the Jews in the Persian Empire that is to come. He's torn the sackcloth, which was a Jewish way of grieving. He's wailing at the gate of the palace. He has ashes, which is reminiscent for us as we journey through Lent of Ash Wednesday. In a spirit of solidarity with Mordecai and with God, the Jews themselves, throughout the empire, openly grieve. They could have hidden. They could have tried to hide who they were. But instead, they risk their very lives to honor God. That takes one heck of a faith. I don't know if I could have done that. I don't know if my instinct wouldn't have been to hide. Now, sometimes when we're faced with a crisis, something that upsets us, something that's not right, we get stuck here in the mourning. We get stuck in the grieving. When the world is not what we want it to be, we grieve. And that's a normal, appropriate response. And we become unable to act. We can become bitter and angry at others. We can separate ourselves from other human beings who are also created in the image of God. We let the world steal our joy. The joy of God, the joy of Christ. And sometimes we really get stuck in this stage. It's all normal to be there. And it by all means, we need to honor our grief when things are not what we'd like them to be. But if we stay there forever, we are not honoring God at all. Truthfully, Mordecai's response here was a very Lenten response, a very somber response. As we head into Holy Week, we are going to see that things didn't go the way we wanted them to go for Jesus. But you see, the thing is, being a follower of Jesus is not about the grief, though that's part of it. It's not about the suffering, though that is part of it. Being a follower of Jesus is about believing in resurrections. Being an open and affirming, justice-seeking, neighbor-loving congregation in a town where we are the only ones who make that claim is about believing in resurrections too. And it's about believing in rainbows, the rainbow of human diversity, that we believe in all peoples as being created in the image of God. It is believing in the rainbows of God's promise to Noah that God will stand by us no matter what, and in the grief and in the hope. So in time, Mordecai appeals to Esther. In time. And Esther, at this point in her development, in her story, is still a rule follower. She has been told what to do and how to act by men throughout her life. First by Mordecai, and now by the king. And so, as she responds to Mordecai's appeal, I think you can openly hear her beginning to process. You can begin to hear, while she's reciting the rules, I think you can begin to hear that something just might be changing within Esther. All the king's servants, she says, and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law, one rule, that all alike are to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone, may that person live. We sometimes get stuck in this processing stage as well. In this stage, we quote rules. One of my favorite ones that I get stuck in is, that person should have used a turn signal. The rule is, even if I knew that person was going to turn anyway, because I could tell by the angle of the car. And so we quote rules when we're faced with something. For example, we focus on the anger of protesters who damaged cars in Portland, rather than focusing on the circumstance that might have caused that anger. We focused in Ferguson on the destruction of the convenience mart when people were feeling threatened by that their very lives were going to be lost. We focus on the rules instead of on God. We fail. We fail to listen with our hearts instead of the rules. Now, Mordecai probably knows Esther better than any other human being. He is her guardian, after all. He raised her through childhood to adulthood. He is her beloved parent. She is his beloved child. And so, because he knows her so well, What does he do? He appeals to her better nature. You know, I think of Maggie and I saying to our son, now Isaac, you know better. This is what you know. And so Mordecai appeals to Esther and he says, do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the Jews. For if you keep silent at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter. But you and your father's family will perish. And then there's that line that we are focusing on throughout Lent. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this. Perhaps you have come to royal dignity. Perhaps you have come to this place, to this time, because you have something special to do. Now again, you can hear the gears turning in the very human Esther. You can see the image of God within her come to life. Just like when you turn your computer on and the hard drive starts to warm up, you can hear that happening with Esther. He flips that switch and it starts to whirr. Now sometimes we get stuck there too. Sometimes we end up with the blue screen of death. But not Esther. Not Esther. That machine that is Esther, that divinely created Esther, comes to life, comes to, feels God within. The Spirit stirs who she really is. And she takes a risk. She decides that she's going to take a risk. Though she doesn't know how it will end. A lot of times, when we make a choice for God, we really don't know how it's going to end. I doubt most of the prophets wanted to die. But that's precisely what happened when they made the choices for God that they made. So the woman, the young woman who obeyed the orders of men up to this point in her life, who obeyed Mordecai, who obeyed the king, and who even obeyed the eunuchs who were there to take care of her. She begins to command and ask others to obey her. Esther starts where? Where does she start? She starts with fasting and prayer. Because seeking justice and doing the right thing always begins with God. Knowing what to do, getting a hint, because we don't always really know what to do, but we get that hint. It begins from God. But then she issues orders to the household. She tells them to begin this fast. And then she issues orders to Mordecai, to her guardian. And I love this verse, probably. I could do a whole sermon on this verse. Where, verse 17, Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Isn't that phenomenal? How she, in this very lesson, has completely flipped the roles. So, Queen Vashti, she risked seeing the image of God within herself. She risked doing the thing that honored who she was created to be. Mordecai, he risked honoring God publicly. Not a small task, either one of these. And then Esther. Esther takes the risk of honoring the image of God in her neighbor, in all of the Jewish people. That's pretty remarkable. She made a choice for others when, one, she didn't know the outcome, but two, it was pretty likely she was going to lose her life for caring for her neighbors. Now, if we are to be the church that is needed in this age, if we are to be the church for the year 2017 and beyond, we will begin with prayer. We will begin with reading our Bibles and getting to know the stories of our ancient forebears who dealt with all the same issues that we're dealing with. The circumstances were different, the details were different, but the stuff of people is the same. And we will take risks. Hopefully our risks will not be about our lives. But who knows? Perhaps you have been called to that. We will focus on our neighbors. We will remember the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength, with all our being. And the second is this, Jesus said, to love our neighbors as ourselves. We will focus on our neighbors. We will follow Jesus. We will follow the teachings of the one who came to lead us. Taste the grief. Taste the fear. Taste the joy in expansive, extravagant, unbelievable love. Take the risk, be it with hesitancy or with resolve. Esther had both. Be God's people in a fragmented world that so desperately needs you and me. In the words of Queen Esther, I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Amen.